Question before the House, shall Amendment Number 1 be adopted? Is there further discussion? Ready for the question? Take a roll call vote. The members may proceed to vote. If any members fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Kelly? Clerk, please take the roll.
Twenty yeas, 14 nays, 6 excused.
So Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. Is the clerk of further amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 434 as amended by the House be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read Senate Bill 434 in third reading.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 434 amended by the House by the Finance Committee. An act making special appropriations with respect to certain utilities and providing for an effective date.
Representative Cooper?
Mr. Speaker, this is the hopefully the last chapter in the continuing saga of the Nome storm. Previously, what we did was we bought, essentially anyway, we bought a generator for the city that was lost in the 1974 flood, and a funny thing happened to the generator, and that was that on its way up here, somebody dropped it in the drink down by Wrangell, and it sank to the bottom, never to be recovered. Unfortunately, Northland Marine Lines, which was the outfit that was contracted to bring the generator to Nome, didn't insure itself very well. And so the recovery from Northland after it was prorated did not cover anywhere near the expense of a third generator. So in accordance with the policy that this legislature adopted at that time, this appropriation was put in to take care of the generator one more time. And of course, it isn't the city's fault. And so the cost that we're taking care of here is $34,980.40 for the cost of the generator in the building, and another $15,713 to take care of some problems at the with the power plant engines, which is directly related to the Bering Sea storm of 1974. Another appropriation of $87,000 for a remote control device was thought by the committee not to be connected with the disaster, and therefore we did delete that item in the Finance Committee. While we were at it, we added the contents of a House bill that was introduced in January and which was at the time in the Finance Committee for the same general purpose back last fall, last May, as a matter of fact. There was a mudslide at the city of Seward that wiped out the road and also wiped out the transmission lines there that are technically at least owned by the city of Seward. Well, this $52,000 will take care of the cost of the damage to the power lines, but it would cost another $140,000 to move the transmission lines away from the mudslide area. The state decided to move the road. They'll get that out of the way, but the lines are still right in the way where there will probably be other mudslides. This situation was declared a state emergency by the governor, and we thought that it was close enough. So the bill to add to reimburse the city of Seward and to appropriate to DOT enough money to move the transmission lines was added by the committee.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 434 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 4 nays, 4 excused.
So Senate Bill 434 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Senate Bill 434 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring up reconsideration of committee substitute for House Bill 778 at this time.
Speaker, may I stand briefly at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Bring up the reconsideration, House Bill 778. Place the bill before us in third reading. The clerk please read House Bill 778 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 778 by the amended by the Commerce Committee. An act relating to skiing. Wait a minute. An act relating to the regulation of skiing and of recreational devices and skiing facilities. And providing for an effective date. I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read the proposed amendment.
It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. It's amendment number 1 by Greening and Gardner, and it left off of it was page 1.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. We return to second reading for purposes of this amendment.
There is objection, Representative Greening.
This amendment's been on the desk since the morning, and as you can see, it does a lot to implement the governor's paper reduction bill. It reduces the bill from a 6-page bill down to a 1/2-page bill, and what it does is it takes page 4 of the committee substitute, and with a few minor changes, adopts that as the bill. It removes all the what I consider really trivia dealing with what skiers shouldn't do. They shouldn't run into chairlift towers, and they shouldn't ski too fast, and a lot of regulation of a sport that should be free and free-flowing. But the areas themselves, this is what they consider the guts of the bill, and looking it over, and I've told them before that I don't think it really changes the law all that much, but it does state that the primary duty of it is the primary duty of a skier to judge his own ability and to keep from running into objects. There was some discussion yesterday that this is going to reinstitute assumption of risk. I don't read it that way. I think it will. I think you'll still have comparative negligence involved for ski accidents and so forth, but I do think it does state primary duties on the skier to look after himself, and I think that's the way it should be. I think the bill is acceptable in this form.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to support the return to second reading for the amendment, and I'm going to support the amendment. Representative Greening is correct. This section that he is proposing to leave as the bill is the guts of the bill. I think the rest of the bill is probably desirable too. But this is the most important part, and I would be happy to see it pass.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I may support the motion to go back to second reading, but I don't know if that's going to affect my opinion of the bill. Look at the words that the representative from District 7 has indicated would not have any effect upon current law involving these things. Each person is the sole judge of his ability. No action may be maintained, etc., unless it arises from negligence rather than any other circumstances which might cause an action to arise under current law. No liability attaches because of the inherent risk. Mr. Speaker, I don't think that a bill that has phrases like that can be claimed not to be an adjustment of a special area of personal injury law in one particular field. And this is exactly what I talked about yesterday. We're helping these people out, and there's going to be the floodgates will open tomorrow. Everybody who has a unfortunate, perhaps ill-advised, temporary problem or even permanent problem, perhaps arising from the inattention, greed, or incompetence of claims adjusters and insurance companies, are going to be coming to the legislature next year with their special class of defendants, whether they be doctors, ski tow operators, anybody else, or perhaps lawyers looking for malpractice insurance or something. And I don't think that this will save the bill. I'll vote for the amendment only because it'll make a bad bill slightly less bad, not much.
Further discussion? Is the objection maintained to returning House Bill 778 to second reading? Hearing no further objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt amendment number one.
There is objection. Representative Greening.
If you read that one phrase that my colleague from Fairbanks cited, no action may be maintained, etc., unless it results from the negligence of the operator. That's the question. I mean, that's the question the court decides. It doesn't define necessarily what's negligence other than to say that there's a primary duty. We still have the doctrine of comparative negligence in this state, so that means if on a blind corner or they put a snow-capped vehicle or there's some other fact situation arises, the court will decide it the manner it always has. The real issue is whether we want to go so far as to say there's an absolute bar to any action, and we don't do that. So I think this bill, although having some, admittedly, some effect, and I'm not too sure of the total effect because I think it'll be subject to court interpretation, it does not totally eliminate the actions that can be properly brought against ski areas, but it does put the primary responsibility for injuries on the people that choose to take up the sport.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask a question through the chair of one of the either maker of the amendment or one of the other attorneys, perhaps. If there is, inadequate maintenance on the rope tow or the J-bar or the T-bar or one of those things, and someone is injured, the way I would read this proposed amendment, there'd be no liability to the operator, at least under this bill, because the only negligence that's referred to in the first section of the bill is a track, trail, or slope. And I guess that doesn't cover the tows and the ski lifts and so forth. I'd appreciate an answer to that.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, if there's improperly maintained or designed ski lift or there's an injury on that, I don't think anything in this bill would affect that. What it's talking, the prime concern here is the duty. How far does the ski area have to go to keep the slope smooth? If you're familiar with skiing, the skiers go down a slope, they develop moguls, and that those are bumps in the hill that a lot of skiers enjoy skiing around. But in some areas, it's particularly certain slopes, people like to have it smooth. So I suppose that the Vermont decision would say that the area had to, it's upheld, that the area had a duty to keep it like a billiard table and to make sure it was perfect. Well, when you're outdoors like that, it's pretty hard to do. But this does not refer, you're talking about an action, only referring to an action that relates to the condition of the track, trail, or slope, and not a condition related to the condition of the uplift facilities, which are freely... you're still free to bring an action for any condition or a defect in the lift. It's only referring to an action that's brought on the basis of a condition of a track, trail, or slope. It doesn't refer to the facilities that take people uphill. And a matter of fact, even that particular phrase really states what I think is the present law, because there is no doctrine that says that the area operator or owner is negligent, is responsible in law for damages unless he's negligent. There is no strict liability doctrine that applies to the operator. So we're really stating what is the law now in that particular sense.
Further discussion. Is the objection maintained to the adoption of Amendment Number 1? Hearing no further objection, Amendment Number 1 is adopted. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 778 to be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 778 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 778 amended. Excuse me. Yeah. But it's deleted in the regulation. Okay. Enact relating to skiing facilities and providing for an effective date.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to urge the members to vote again against this legislation. I understand the reasons that these things happen, and maybe in the virulence of my methods of debating the issue, it makes it sound like I'm angry at somebody. I'm only angry at a situation. There's a public policy problem that exists throughout the United States that I suppose, since I'm a part of that profession, is in part my fault, as well as the fault of every other attorney practicing in the United States, and at least those involved in plaintiffs or defense work in civil litigation. And, of course, the insurance companies have to take their share of the blame, too. And it's an all-pervasive problem that goes far and wide across the various subcategories of different kinds of defendants. If we start passing legislation like this, we're going to have a different bill for green defendants, blue defendants, and red ones, and everything for the next 4 or 5 years, and that's not the way to address the problem. I would hope that the next legislature will have some recommendations from the groups that are now working on comprehensive tort reform. It's a serious problem. We're not going to solve it overnight. In the meantime, I certainly would hope that the director of the Division of Insurance would not allow some lower court decision in Vermont to affect insurance premiums in Alaska.
Well, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Brown and I share one thing, and that is that we're both angry at the situation. The problem with his arguments is that we have already addressed the situation on individual case basis, as I mentioned yesterday, for medical malpractice and for municipal tort liability, at least in those situations. I serve on the Bodily Injuries Reparations Advisory Committee, and we are trying to come up with some kind of a comprehensive answer to the problem. But I don't think that justifies our not responding to problems that are put before us in a very serious manner. So I support the bill.
Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 778 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Twenty-six yeas, 10 nays, 4 excused.
So House Bill 778 has passed the House on reconsideration. The bill no longer carries an effective date clause. It was deleted in Amendment Number 1. Representative Miller.
Speaker, very brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask that this body stand in recess for 5 minutes.
Hearing no objection, the House will stand in recess for 5 minutes. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 600 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the legal school age for education of exceptional children. The Committee on HES has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 600 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 600, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by NACAC, Chatterton, Cotton, Phillips, Buchholz, and Parr. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Dankworth.
Mr. Speaker, at least before we advance this bill, I like the original version of this bill, and I've got some questions as to why we extended this into a great many areas that I think probably aren't that relative to legal school age or education for exceptional children. And apparently that was the purpose for the bill, and I certainly approve of that bill. But now, in the committee substitute, we went far beyond that, and I think we've discussed this, it seems to me, last year's portions of this bill, and it may be all right, I don't know. But I'd certainly like to hear some discussion on this before we advance to the other bill. Otherwise, I'm going to keep my objection.
Representative Parr?
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Dankworth is correct. He has seen some of this before, and he's correct that it was last year. And what he didn't state is this House did pass it, and what I might add to that is the fact that he's been reposing very quietly and peacefully in apparently the bottom drawer in the very back of a certain committee on the other body, and has never had a chance for the members of the other body to look at it and hopefully vote for it. We want to give them that chance, Mr. Speaker. We don't want to deprive them of that chance. They really need that opportunity. We want to make sure they get it.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall the committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill? Take a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. If any members fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Twenty-six yeas, 10 nays, 4 excused.
So the committee substitute has been adopted. Is the clerk of amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I'll ask the unanimous consent that Senate Bill 600 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Will the clerk please read Senate Bill 600 in third reading?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 600 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act prohibiting sex and age discrimination in education in the state.
Ready for the question? Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I don't recall when, a year or so ago, we had an issue before us that called for the unions who have vocational training programs have certain age limits to which they will not admit a person if they are above certain age limits. And I'm curious as to whether this bill affects that in any way.
Representative Parr?
Mr. Speaker, the answer is no.
So further discussion? Ready for the question. The question is, shall Senate Bill 600 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Dankworth? Clerk, please take the roll.
Something's wrong with the voting machine.
Unfortunately, the roll call machine has malfunctioned on that roll call vote. Avoid the roll call and Senate Bill 600. House, please stand at ease. Question before the House is, shall Senate Bill 600 pass the House? Ready for the question? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Something's wrong.
Unfortunately, machine's still not feeding the paper correctly. We'll void the last roll call on Senate Bill 600, and this time we'll take a voice roll call vote. Clerk, please call the roll.
Akers? Anderson?
Yes.
Byrne?
Yes.
Bennett?
Yes.
Bradley? Brown?
Yes.
Buchholz? Carpenter?
No.
Chatterton?
No.
Cotton?
Yes.
Cooper?
Yes.
Dankworth?
No.
Duncan?
Yes.
Eliason?
Yes.
Freeman?
Yes.
Gardner?
Yes.
Greening?
Yes.
Guy?
Aye.
Yes, oh, excuse me. Haugen?
No.
Hayes?
No.
Kelly? Lethine? Lovesett?
No.
McKinnon? Meekins?
Yes.
Miles?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Nackack?
Yes.
Osi? Osterback?
Yes.
Parr?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Rode?
Yes.
Rudd?
Yes.
Schaefer?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Swanson?
No.
Urien?
Mr.
Speaker?
Yes.
Twenty-eight yeas, seven nays, five excused.
Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please announce the final total.
28 yeas, 7 nays, 5 excused.
So Senate Bill 600 has passed the House. Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of Senate Bill 617 this time.
Places the bill before us in third reading. Before I ask the clerk to read the bill in third reading, it appears that the roll call voting machine going to require some work before we can put it back into operation. The paper is not feeding correctly. During voice roll call votes, particularly, would ask the members refrain from rattling papers and so forth so that the clerk can keep track of the roll call as it proceeds. It's not as important when we're using the machine, but when we have to call the roll, ask the members to please try to observe that. Clerk, please read Senate Bill 617, third reading.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 617 by the State Affairs Committee. An act relating to the interest in land required for a public works project of the state and providing for an effective date. I have two proposed amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read amendment number one.
Amendment number one by Mr. Miles. Page one, on line 12, after the comma, add the department shall approve both the project site and the land interest in the site. On lines 13 and 15, delete all material.
Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, I move to ask unanimous consent we return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
There is objection. Representative Miles.
Yep. Mr. Speaker, earlier this afternoon I distributed the amendment that's currently before us. As written and as the House passed the bill yesterday, I think there's tremendous potential for delay in development projects, especially those in rural areas. As it now reads, if the members should refer to their bill, it said, before advertisement for bids or construction, one, the department shall approve the site, and two, a land interest must be vested in the entity that will own the completed work. Mr. Speaker, a number of projects that are built in the state of Alaska today just aren't done that way. Especially those done in the design construct method, some rural schools, warehouses, what have you, aren't done that way. Often a local contractor in an area will own the land, and he'll hear that the state or municipality is going to build a warehouse or build an addition to a building or something of that nature. And he'll go to the agency with a proposal, but under the terms of the existing language, he would have to turn over his interest in the land to that entity prior to any bids going out or prior to any construction negotiations. And I think this could seriously impede progress on a number of these worthwhile projects. There was a number of questions about this, especially with Representative Duncan, who was a prime spokesman on it, and I went back and talked to Deputy Commissioner Holden and the attorney who drafted the original language that we passed, and they both concurred that there's a possibility that could exist. So essentially what the amendment does is it wipes out the second section on lines 14 and 15, where that land interest has to be conveyed to the entity. And it just says that the department must approve both the site and the land interest in the site.
Is the objection maintained to adoption to the return of the bill to second reading for the purpose of adopting a specific amendment? Hearing no further objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 1.
There is objection. Speaker, Representative Cotton.
Could the maker of the amendment explain why he wants to delete Section 2 then, or does that follow along the same line? I guess I missed why you wanted to delete Section 2.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section 2 is a section that requires the land interest to be conveyed to the owning entity prior to bids going out or construction negotiations commencing. It just doesn't happen that way. These things move along in tandem oftentimes, and it could serve as a real impediment to any progress being made on a project.
Is objection maintained to the adoption of Amendment Number 1? Hearing no further objection, Amendment Number 1 is Representative Brown.
I didn't want to interrupt the ruling of the chair with regard to the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Hearing no further objection, Amendment Number 1 is adopted.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
May we have any of these?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 617 as amended by the House be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Would the clerk please read Senate Bill 617 in third reading?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 617 amended by the House by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the interest in land required for a public works project of the state and providing for an effective date.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 617 pass the House? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Akers? Anderson? Byrne? Bennett? Bradley, Brown, Buchholz, Carpenter, Chatterton, Cotton, Cooper, Dankworth, Duncan, Eliason, Freeman, Gardner, Greening, Guy, Haugen, Hayes, Kelly, Lathine, Loveseth, McKinnon, Meekins, Miles, Miller, Nackack, Osi, Osterback, Parr, Phillips, Rode, Rudd, Schaefer, Smith, Snyder, Swanson, Urien, Mr. Speaker. Yes. 25 yeas, 2 nays, 3 excused.
Do any members wish to...
Excuse me, 35.
Please announce the total again.
35 yeas, 2 nays, 3 excused.
Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please announce final total.
35 yeas, 2 nays, 3 excused.
So, Senate Bill 617 has passed the House. Representative Miller?
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Senate Bill 617 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 98, Commerce, amended by the House by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to banks and other financial institutions. I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Speaker. Representative Eliason.
We have a brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 98, Commerce by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to banks and other financial institutions. I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read the proposed amendment.
Amendment number 2 by Mr. McKinnon. Page 8, lines 13 and 14, delete or state bank holding companies. Page 8, line 18 and 21, delete or bank holding companies. Page 8, line 19, delete or bank holding company. Page 22, line 18, delete section 34. Page 35, line 8, delete section 43.
Representative McKinnon.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to return to second reading for purposes of adopting a proposed amendment.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative McKinnon.
Speaker, these are amendments I think will finally make the bill acceptable to everyone. The first actually takes care of an oversight that we made in Commerce, in that it would have included an existing bank holding company, or in effect would have put an existing bank holding company in violation of state law. However, we're excluding bank holding companies as there was really no intent ever to include them on the percentage restriction of holdings by a corporation. The other two portions of the amendment are our annual cave-in to NBA.
It's further discussion. Is there objection to the amendment? Hearing no objection, amendment number 2 is adopted. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 98 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read Senate Bill 98 in third reading.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 98, Commerce, amended by the House by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to banks and other financial institutions.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 98 pass the House? Now, we'll use the roll call voting machine. Hopefully, it'll work this time. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Guy? Clerk, please take the roll.
Twenty-six yeas, 12 nays, 2 excused.
So Senate Bill 98 has passed the House on reconsideration. Is the bill carried?
No.
Clerk, please read the next. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to take up my reconsideration of Senate Bill 51 at this time.
Place the bill before us in third reading. Clerk, please read Senate Bill 51 in third reading. House, please stand at ease. House, please come to order. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I got an amendment on the desk, and I'd
move. Would the clerk please read the proposed amendment?
Amendment number 4 by Mr. Cotton. Page 1 and 2. Delete all of Section 1 and Section 2.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent we return to second reading for that specific amendment.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
Hearing no objection, the amendment is adopted. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 51 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk please read Senate Bill 51 in third reading.
Senate Bill Number 51, amended by the House by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to hospitals.
Ready for the question. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I can't find my copy. Could we have a brief explanation of what Mr. Cotton has just done to...
Representative Cotton.
I couldn't find my copy either, Mr. Speaker. What we... Section 1 and Section 2 deal with the change in the schedule of fees for the licensing of hospitals. It didn't really amount to very much revenue, and the department felt that if they were going to lose the whole bill over that section, they'd prefer to go ahead and dump those first two sections out and leave in Section 3, which clarifies the definition of what is a hospital. And apparently there's long been some misstatements in the law as to what the definition of a hospital is. I don't have my copy of Senate Bill 51 right here.
Ready for the question. The question is, shall Senate Bill 51 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Thirty-six yeas, 1 nay, 3 excused.
So Senate Bill 51 has passed the House.
No, it doesn't.
Clerk, please read the Next item on the calendar.
Citation commending the Alaska National Guard 910th Engineering Company by Representative Bob Bradley.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the approval of the citation.
There is objection. Representative Miller.
For the purpose, Mr. Speaker, could I ask unanimous consent that Representatives Duncan and I be shown as co-sponsors?
Me too. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent it be shown by sponsored all members of the House.
The only one that was recognized by the chair so far has been the majority leader. His motion is pending. Representative Miller.
If Representative Bradley has no objection, I'll withdraw that motion and move instead that all members of the House be shown as sponsors of the resolution of the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us back to the main motion, I guess. Is there objection to the approval of the citation? Hearing no objection, the citation is approved. Let the record show the citation was approved unanimously. That brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Representative Hayes.
We have a brief at ease, please.
Will the House please stand at ease? Come to order. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd like to bring up reconsideration of H.C.R. 135.
Place the resolution before us in second reading. Clerk, please read H.C.R. 135 in second reading.
Committee substitute for House concurrent resolution number 135 by the Commerce Committee, urging adoption of a regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that H.C.R. 135 be taken from today's calendar and held in second reading for tomorrow's calendar.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd like to bring up reconsideration of H.B. 513.
Place the bill before us in third reading. Clerk, please read House Bill 513, third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 513, amended by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the survey and improvement of state land.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that House Bill 513 be held or until tomorrow's calendar in third reading.
Hearing no objection. Motion is adopted. House, please stand at ease. I have a distinguished guest on the floor, Senator Croft. You represent a delegation from the Senate, Senator Croft. Representative Miller.
Well, since they're not ready yet, Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent we revert to messages from the other body.
Clerk, have any messages from the Senate?
Mr. Speaker, the President has appointed the following members to a free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider Senate Bill number 409, Special Appropriation to Department of Natural Resources for a feasibility study of proposed Tokositna Lodge and Visitor Center in Denali State Park with an effective date, and Senate Bill number 409, amended House, new title. Senator Rohde, Chairman, Senator Croft, Senator Sackett. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill number 432, amended, powers of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, thus adopting House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 432 rules, powers of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee and of the Legislative Council with an effective date. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill number 181, thus adopting House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 181, creating the Copper River Delta Critical Habitat Area. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The The Committee on Hess has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 17, providing for the issuance of GO bonds in the amount of $26,560,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of constructing and equipping Pioneers Homes and Centers for the Elderly, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 17, and that it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Buchholz, Parr, Chatterton, Nackack, Phillips, and Cotton. Signing do not pass, burn. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 17 has a further referral to State Affairs. The Committee on Rules has had Senate Bill 453, an act relating to Tourism Revolving Fund, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommend it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 453 Rules, and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, signing do pass, Cotton, Miller, Parr, and Buchholz. Signing no recommendation, Urien and Kelly. Senate Bill 453 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 449 Finance under consideration. Providing for the issuance of GO bonds in the amount of $31,250,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for water supply and sewerage systems, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 449, and that it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, Meekins, Duncan, Swanson, and Greening. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 449, Finance, has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 625, providing for the issuance of GO bonds in the amount of $6,785,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for public safety facilities, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 625, and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Meekin, Swanson, Duncan, and Greening. Schaefer has no recommendation. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 625 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Now we'll revert to the regular order of business. We're under unfinished business. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Are there any special orders? Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, the House Royalty Oil and Gas Committee will meet tomorrow morning in Judiciary Committee Room at 8:30 to take up the equity participation gas line financing.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the House Labor and Management Committee will meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning to review an opinion from the Legislative Affairs Agency regarding our inquiry into compliance with legislative intent for Chapter 89, Session Laws 76, the Little Davis-Bacon Act. And we'll have some people from the Department of Transportation there, hopefully.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry, I missed unfinished business. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 434.
Clerk, please note Representative Gardner's notice of reconsideration of his vote on Senate Bill 434. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, the Rules Committee will meet at 9:30 tomorrow morning to consider Senate Bill 326, medical malpractice.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the Hess Committee will meet upon adjournment to look at the alcohol package, Senate Bills 324 and then 541 through 547. If the members will be prompt, Mr. Speaker, we can be out in 10 minutes.
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet immediately on adjournment to take up Senate Bill 61, Special Appropriation to Power and Water Projects, Senate Bill 562, Alaska Land Policy, and the remaining bond issues. If the members will be prompt as possible, we can be out by midnight.
Are there further announcements? Is there further business to come before the House? Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, the House is adjourned.